Now is the time, episode number 12. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Welcome, friends. This is our last full week in Ukraine before we come back to America. And you know what? It's a little bit crazy in our household right now. In fact, was not even sure I'd be able to get a podcast out, but I really wanted to do this one because, well, it's an important topic. Today, we're talking about Facebook and we're talking about the church. And I want to share with you some tips of how you can keep Facebook from killing your church. But before we get into that, let me just kind of give you a little update, let you know what is happening with us. Like I said, this is the last full week that we are here in Ukraine. We fly out of Ukraine on Tuesday, October 15th. And arrive in Seattle the same day. And pretty much right away, we have a number of events planned. The first church we will be in is Bethany Bible Church in Kenmore, Washington. And we're going to be there, have a number of events planned with that church. Anyway, check out our schedule if you want to know more where we're going to be. And of course, one of the main reasons that we are coming is to visit and update those churches and individuals that support our ministry here in Ukraine, helping churches and training church leaders, and also to raise some more support. Yes, we need some more support. And what I want to share with you right now is two things. One is we need the support, and the main way that you can support us is by giving through our mission, ABWE, and that's how really what keeps us on the field, those faithful supporters who regularly give $25, $50, $100 a month, and we are so, so grateful for you if you're one of those supporters, and we invite you to join us if you have the ability and support what God is doing in the churches in Ukraine. But what I want to share with you is another way that you can support us, which is an alternative. And, you know, it's really also a great way to support us because you benefit from it as well as we do. And that is by buying books. Well, actually, you don't just have to buy books, but we have links on our site to Amazon, and I do have an affiliate account with Amazon, so usually I'll have a book there right on the right of the blog post, and right now I have the book Jesus is Greater Than Religion by Jefferson Bethke, which is it's a really, really good book, and you can check out my review of that. That was the post just before this post. Jesus is Greater Than Religion by Jefferson Bethke. But you can click on that link, click on that book there right on the right-hand side. It'll take you to Amazon, and that's our affiliate account. So anything you buy on Amazon, after you click that link, Amazon gives us a generous percentage. And doesn't cost you anything else, doesn't cost you anything more at all. But the difference is that you get to support us. And so you can buy books, you can buy clothing, you can buy sporting goods, whatever you want, of course, after you click on that link. But if you want to know what books to buy, of course, I have some recommendations for you on our website. And the first one I do recommend is that book by Jefferson Bethke, Jesus is Greater Than Religion. Now, let's get back to the subject here. Facebook and the church. Now, here's the deal. this past Sunday, I preached in our church, and the topic was fellowship. What is fellowship? Because fellowship is one of the goals of our church. And if you've been reading my blog, you probably noticed the post last week too about Acts chapter 2 verses 41 through 47, where it talks about the early church and what their meetings look like, what their fellowship look like. And I believe that we have come to a time in the church where there is a danger. There is a danger that we are going to this church services, we are attending maybe church events, but we are not in fellowship, not in true New Testament biblical fellowship with other believers. And why do I mention Facebook in this whole conversation? Well, because Facebook plays a role, and I'm not just talking about Facebook. I'm talking about really online social networks. I recently watched a very interesting TED Talk where, I'll look up the link and I'll put it in the show notes, but I just can't think of it right now. But the guy, he talked about the fact that more and more our society has become intermediated by technology. What does that mean? That means that, for instance, when you get in the car and you step on the gas pedal to make the car go, there's really no direct physical link to the throttle in the engine. You press on the gas pedal and a sensor senses it, which relays it to a computer, which then translates that to the throttle, and it gives it more gas. And in a very similar way, many of our tasks now are intermediated by technology, by electronics. And of course, that's not all bad. That's good in many ways. But the problem comes when we talk about relationships. And I think you'll agree with me that many of our relationships today are often intermediated by technology. So what that means is we are more and more connected by computers and Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and YouTube and Instagram and what else is out there? I don't know. Well, email even, I guess we could say. And we're connected by those things, but yet at the same time, people are more alone today than they ever have been. The problem is that what we do on social network sites like Facebook, sometimes we think of it as one and the same, like it is fellowship, like that is our relationship. But friends, it's not. And I want to bring this conversation now back to the church. There is a very specific word when we talk about relationships in the church. And the word is koinonia. It means fellowship. And the first time that we find that word in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 2. Let me just read that section, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, because this gives us a picture of what the early church looked like when it first formed in those early weeks, actually before there was really persecution, and how their meetings looked, what they did. Okay, let me read. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All right. Did you catch that key word in there? The key word is fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia, fellowship. Now, sometimes I think that we have maybe a misconception about what that term means. It's kind of a Christianized word, I suppose. We don't use it too much outside of Christianity. But it was a word that was used by the Greeks in that day, koinonia, and it had a very specific meaning. Now, sometimes I think we have a wrong idea about it when we think of it in a church function, you know, a church sense, context, you know, growing up in the church for me, for instance, when I think of fellowship, you know, the first thought that comes to my mind is potluck. You know, that was church fellowship, potluck. And potlucks are great. I love potlucks when we're home or when we're back in the States on furlough. We do lots of potlucks because everyone wants to have an international potluck. But, you know, that doesn't really catch the full sense of what this term fellowship means. Potlucks are great. There's food there. And we see in this passage that they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And hopefully that happens at potlucks. But it doesn't really fulfill the whole idea of what fellowship means. Really is. Some people might think that fellowship is just, oh, you know, it's just when I talk on the phone to another member of my church or something like that. You know, and again, that might be part of fellowship, but I believe that this term koinonia, as we see in verse 43, is something much deeper than just having a conversation with someone. I mean, I could have a conversation with anyone on the street. It doesn't mean that I'm having fellowship with that person necessarily. I might just be relaying some sort of information. So, what does the term mean? Well, there's a couple of aspects to the definition of koinonia or fellowship that I think are vital for our understanding of what it really is. And one aspect of the meaning of koinonia is to have something in common, okay? To have some sort of a common ground or maybe a common possession. We see here in this passage that they sold their belongings. They had all in common. But what did they have all in common besides just possessions? Jesus. And so when we talk about New Testament fellowship, friends, it is important that we remember that Jesus is the basis. Our fellowship begins, it continues, it ends with Jesus. He is at the core of our fellowship. So that is why in a church where we have members coming from many different backgrounds and cultures and different families, we all have this one thing in common. We follow Jesus, we believe in Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. So we do have something in common. Another aspect to the term fellowship is an idea of working together in some sort of a common task. And this is why I think that we need to be careful when it comes to something like Facebook and these social networks, because we can deceive ourselves in thinking, well, you know, I do online church, for instance. There are online churches out there. And, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I really don't agree with online churches. Maybe in extreme cases where people are homebound physically, they actually cannot leave the home. That can be a useful thing, but I think all too often it is abused and it's used by people who are just honestly too lazy and don't want to take the effort of going somewhere and being with someone. But when we talk about working together, it's the idea of working shoulder to shoulder with someone in ministry. And we really have to be there physically with that person to enjoy that kind of fellowship and that kind of closeness. And then the last aspect to this idea of fellowship or koinonia is that it is something, or it has the idea of living in a family or in a society. And I think that is very important when we talk about a church. Because when you live with a family, you are in close contact with them on a daily basis. And again, we see that in this passage. They met together. And they not only met in large gatherings like maybe we would on a Sunday morning, but they also met in homes. So they had large gatherings and then they had their small groups. But what was important was that they were together. And we need that together time. We need that together time if we're going to have true New Testament biblical fellowship. Because, you know, here's what happens without it. We can go on Facebook. We can put up the best pictures. We can find these amazing status updates. We can take pictures of what we're eating for breakfast and lunch and dinner. We can take pictures every time we go on a vacation and show our hotel room and show the beautiful scenery and show us relaxing and having fun. But people don't see our real lives. Because there is that intermediary. There is that computer. There is that filter that I'm going to filter. I'm only going to allow people to see what I want them to see. And honestly, in real life, you know, we do that too. We put up a front. We try to only have people see what we want them to see. But sooner or later, if we are living close enough in a family, in a society, you can't hide those things forever. And that's the point where fellowship comes in. And, you know, my definition of fellowship is this. Fellowship is intentionally building relationships that bring us closer to Jesus. Okay, did you get that? Intentionally building relationships that bring us closer to Jesus. And I think that the way we need to approach these social networks online is that this is simply another tool. It is another aspect that allows us to continue that relationship even when we're not physically present. And if we are using those tools in that way, you know, I think we're okay. The danger becomes when we use the social networks exclusively or use them in a way to promote something about us that maybe is not really who we are. And we avoid the closeness and building the relationships one, you know, in real space, in real time with real people. And, you know, I think that many of us, we need to get up from our desks, get up from our computers, and go and begin building real relationships with real people in the church if we want to have fellowship. So here are my tips. Here are my tips for keeping Facebook from destroying your church. Here are my tips. First of all, approach Facebook as a tool that is to be used to continue a relationship when you really physically cannot be together, okay? So it's for the in-between times, all right? Secondly, be intentional about how you use it. If the goal of fellowship is intentionally building relationships to bring people closer to Jesus, why not use Facebook to intentionally continue to build those relationships and bring people closer to Jesus? Now, you can post pictures of your kids and your vacation and stuff like that. But what do people see when they go on those social networks? What do they see? Do they see your faith? Do they see the significance of Jesus Christ in your life? Or do they just see your fashion photos and your amazing food that you're eating for dinner and your beautiful face and all those things? What do they really see when they go on the social networks? Let them see Jesus. And let your presence on those social networks bring people closer to Jesus. That would be my second tip. My third tip is very simple, and yet very hard to do. And that is, invite people over to your home. Invite people over to your home. Start simple. Don't feel like you have to cook a feast. Listen, you know what it says here in Acts chapter 2? It says, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I wish I could have been at some of those homes and some of that fellowship. There was laughter. There was joy. I mean, people were relaxing and having a good time. And here is what I want to emphasize to you. I really don't think that people were going all out and cooking big roast beefs and this huge, you know, 7-course meal with china and all of the decorations. Sometimes we just get so caught up on that. You know what that really is? Okay, I'm just going to tell you. It's just our own pride. We don't want to invite people to our house because we are proud, and if we're going to invite someone over, we have to do it 110% and show them how amazingly we can serve them. And that is a form of pride. The best fellowship is not based upon how much time you put into preparing the meal. The best fellowship is based upon your heart. Do you have a sincere heart? Are you bringing those people into your home because you want to encourage them, or because you want to show them how wonderful your home is, what a good host you are, and those things? So, sorry, I'm getting a little sidetracked on that. But that is important, that we invite people into our homes, okay? All right, well, last tip here. Last tip is this. Go to church early and stay late. Go to church early and stay late. Too many times, they come late, slip in, slip out. Got to get home, got to watch the game. You know, it's got gate, checked it off, got it done. Going to church on Sunday does not mean you had fellowship. Go there early. Find someone who's sitting by themselves. Find someone you don't know and start building a relationship with them. Stay after the service and look for those people who are running out the door and stop them and ask them how they're doing. Ask them if you can pray for them. Friends, social networks are great when they are used properly. They ought to be used as a tool that continues those personal one-on-one relationships that we have built in real time and space at church, in our homes, in ministry, at work, wherever it may be. Don't let the social networks keep you from those real relationships. That is where real fellowship is at. And here's the thing. When we have real fellowship, not only do we encourage and strengthen that other person, but we also receive encouragement. We also begin to grow in our faith. So, that is, those are my tips for how we can keep Facebook and other social network sites from killing our church. What kind of tips do you have? How do you use social networks? How do you use Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus to glorify God and to bring people closer to Jesus? Leave me some comments on this blog post at sucofamily.org. And also, if you've listened to one or more of these podcasts, why not check it out on iTunes? There's a link right in this blog post or on the right-hand side of any of my blogs to Now is the Time on iTunes. Download it on iTunes and leave me a review or just give me a rating there. That really helps out and helps this podcast get in front of other listeners. So, all right, friends, thank you for your time. Blessings. Mm-hmm.